Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
How are we feeling, Bengal fans? Your Cincinnati Bengals are in the AFC Championship game next week. An unbelievable, unbelievable game, unbelievable season, unbelievable postseason. The Cincinnati Bengals are now in the AFC Championship game awaiting either the Chiefs or the Bills, depending on what happens tomorrow on Sunday. Whew, my heart rate is still sky high, but that's all right. I'm Anthony Cosenza, by the way, with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. We have a lot to get to in terms of this game, storylines, stats, all kinds of different things. One of the most hard-fought and crazy games I have ever seen, maybe to the more casual NFL fan who does not pay attention to these two teams or roots for these two teams. When you see a 19-16 score, you may say, wow, that wasn't the most exciting game, especially in a game that features Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Julio Jones, AJ Brown, Derrick Henry. This was one of the most physical games for a postseason game that I can remember in a really long time, quite honestly. And this was supposed to be all about the offense. The defenses were good. They had some good players, but this was going to be about the offense. This was going to maybe be a 30-24 game or something like that. No, it was field goals. It was tough defense. It was turnovers. It was sacks. It was big hits, all kinds of different things. And teams had to weather all kinds of different issues and overcome them to get this win. The Bengals just did a little bit more. Hats off to the Tennessee Titans. Great season. I know they are disappointed, but great season. And they played their butts off today. But the Bengals just kept at it. They just kept coming, and they would not die, even though 9 sacks later, an interception, and all kinds of other issues were not going their way. They still fought their way into the AFC Championship game against either the Chiefs or the Bills. We will see what happens there. I don't know if there's a team you prefer to play in that scenario. I'm not really, it's kind of like, well, I mean, maybe Buffalo. I don't know. I guess, you know, you say, well, the Bengals beat the Chiefs earlier in the year, so maybe that is indicative of something, but I don't know. Regardless, I think we're all pretty euphoric in terms of how this team got here. This team, I got a pretty clever text from our friend of the show, Mike Holbrook, and he said, you know, it's no longer why not us, it is us, meaning the Bengals are there. They're right there. And guess what? Regardless of how next week goes for the Bengals, this is the tip of the iceberg, it would seem, for this team. They've got a lot of money to spend free agency next year. They've got Joe Burrow on a rookie deal still, and he is an ascending player, obviously. This could be the beginning, dare I say it, of a dynasty for the Bengals, honestly, regardless of what happens next week. Look, there's so many storylines here, and we can go through a bunch. There are some that kind of stuck out in my mind for this week. Let's get to some of the streaks, some of the stats that were, you know, and different things that are kind of record setting that came from this game. And I'll probably miss some, but Ja'Marr Chase is the first rookie wide receiver, to my knowledge, to have two 100-yard receiving games in his first two postseason, career postseason games. The Cincinnati Bengals, up until this point, had never won a road playoff game, ever. That's gone. It's just a year where the Bengals, obviously, they hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years until last week. So they are just knocking all kinds of past stigmas, past notions about this team and who they are. They're just knocking them all down. And again, next week could end for them next week. But even if it does, the Cincinnati Bengals have already proven that they are on the precipice of something special this year and in the coming years, and they will not be going away, it would seem, as long as they've got Joe Burrow. You got to give Zach Taylor and his coaching staff credit as well. That group has really rallied the troops. And as long as this team remains at least somewhat to pretty aggressive in outside free agency, retain some of its key pieces, they're not going anywhere for the next few years. They're not going anywhere. So we see this here, a super chat from Houday, $5. I've watched OBI since the 2018 season. Feels good to be talking about playoff football. Send Icky's Foundation my regards, and thank you for starting that off, because I want to remind everybody we are still in that week where we had Icky Woods, the Javonte Woods Foundation. All the super chats that we receive this week, we're sending it all to the Javonte Woods Foundation. We've already got a couple hundred dollars, I think, racked up. I got to do the math on that. So if you want to be, if you're feeling generous after tonight and what happened after today, and you want to help out the Javonte Woods Foundation, leave us a super chat or go to the JavonteWoodsFoundation.org and donate directly. If you want to donate $30, $31 for either one of Icky Woods jerseys or the playoff curse being done, go for it. But we want to support that and just having some fun helping out some great causes out there. Thank you, Houday. Appreciate that. We will add that to the pot, my friend. Look, Here are some other things here. Joe Burrow sacked. I was talking about streaks and records and all that kind of stuff. Joe Burrow sacked the most of any quarterback ever in the postseason with 9 sacks. I think it was Donovan McNabb that had 8 prior to that. And oddly enough, I think Donovan McNabb won that game and Joe Burrow wins this one. I tweeted this out earlier on my Twitter account at CJAnthonyCUI. There were some space, these things on Twitter called spaces, where there's kind of a live group chat, a group think, where people can kind of come in and out and speak and all this kind of different stuff. Zim Houday, our buddy from Cincy Jungle and the Orange is the New Black podcast, spearhead a lot of these. He brought in some Titan fans and all of that. And there was some talk from Titan fans that the Bengals were a quote unquote finesse team. And they were a finesse team because they were a bombs away team and they made a lot of plays on offense and all that kind of stuff. They didn't believe in the defense and they weren't able to play with some of these hard-nosed defenses and that their offensive line was going to get manhandled. Derrick Henry is going to run all over them, all kinds of different things. Well, most of those things did not occur on Saturday. And the Cincinnati Bengals, who play in the AFC North, forced to play the Steelers twice a year, the Baltimore Ravens twice a year, and the Cleveland Browns, who have become a very physical, run-oriented, tough defensive team as well. They play those teams 6 times a year. And so when you hear finesse team, you kind of take that a little bit like, you sure about that? You sure about that? One defense today had 9 sacks on the quarterback, the Tennessee Titans. The other defense had 3 interceptions, a 4th-and-1 stop at a critical point in the game, and another stop on a 2-point conversion from the 1-yard line, with Derrick Henry carrying the ball both times in those situations. Physical game from both teams, but the Bengals answered the bell and went toe-to-toe, came out victorious against a very, very physical Tennessee Titans team. And there are so, and we'll get to stats and stuff. And we're going to do something a little fun at the end of the show here too. Something I have never done, and we'll make it kind of short. The Cincinnati Bengals did an enormous job on defense because the offense was not itself today, and that's a credit to Tennessee's defense. Tennessee spent all of their offseason, free agency and the draft, really bolstering their defensive line, their defense, and making sure that, you know, they got in last year. And I think they had some of the lowest quarterback sack amounts of any team in the postseason last year. And now they were one of the best this year at getting after the quarterback. We heard all week about the three guys on the defensive line that had eight or more sacks. Harold Landry was insane. We'll show you the stats. I mean, some of them are yikes, but Harold Landry was insane. Jeffrey Simmons is insane. I mean, they are really, really good football players on that defensive line, and they know how to get after a quarterback. There is no doubt about it. And they did so a bunch today. Joe Burrow got hit and beat up quite often, popped up from a couple of those sacks and hits, a little gimpy, it would seem at times. That's a little scary, but all in all, the Bengals gutted through it, and it took timely plays on and winning the turnover battle, some timely throws by Joe Burrow, and of course, their rookie kicker. And that's another, that's that kind of feeds into a little bit of storylines on this one. At one point in this game, and I guess we can pull up the, I'll pull this up here, the ESPN box score that I like to show usually on here, because I think this is something to note. At one point in this game, in the fourth quarter, the Tennessee Titans had the ball and they were driving. They got to the Cincinnati 35-yard line facing a fourth and one. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. They had all day, they sat there and watched the Cincinnati Bengals attempt long kick after long kick after long kick with their rookie kicker. Another 4-for-4 performance by Evan McPherson. Back-to-back 4-for-4 kicking performances by their rookie kicker. You're the Tennessee Titans. You have a kicker on your team. Do you know who that kicker is? It's Randy Bullock. Randy Bullock was with the Cincinnati Bengals, and McPherson was the guy who was brought in specifically to replace Randy Bullock, because Randy Bullock had trouble with clutch kicks at times, had trouble with kicks over 49, 50 yards pretty frequently. And here you go. The Bengals, all the analytics are saying, you know, maybe you want to go for some of these tries here that put, I mean, one of them was a 54-yarder for your rookie kicker on the road in the cold. They said no. They wanted to trust their rookie kicker from that distance instead of going for it. And they decided to roll the dice. Their rookie kicker got them the four kicks. And the Tennessee Titans, who grabbed the Bengals replacement, the guy who was replaced at a critical juncture in the game, they did not have the trust on their home turf for their kicker to make that kick. So that is kind of an interesting story point. Another interesting story point, and we'll show you here the stats, and I'll pull up a lot of different things here to share with you for those who are watching the video feed here. Another interesting point was that the Tennessee Titans, getting Derrick Henry back, they were going to run all over the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals were going to continue to play catch up, and they were never going to be able to, with all those weapons, they were never going to be able to do what they needed to do. By the way, here's the drive that I was talking about. Seven plays. They started at their own 17, got all the way down to the Bengals 35-yard line, third and one at the 35. Weird play there, no gain. And then, of course, Henry loses 2 yards here. Logan Wilson with two of the biggest plays of the game in that tackle to force the loss, and of course the interception at the end of the game. And you look at that and you say, you know, again, you go back to that kicker thing I was talking about, the storyline there. Okay. Now, the other storyline that I was talking about, the Tennessee Titans were going to run all over the Cincinnati Bengals. Derrick Henry's back. Derrick Henry is back, and they're gonna run it down the Bengals' throat. They're going to do what they need to do. It's not going to be the Ryan Tannehill show. It's not going to need to be the Ryan Tannehill show because Derrick Henry is back. DJ Reader played out of his absolute mind today. And if you watch that telecast, you even heard Trent Green going, wow, DJ Reader. He's in the backfield. He's all, were you talking about DJ Reader again? Because he's in the backfield again. He was omnipresent back there. He was outstanding. Hubbard had a nice couple of hustle plays. Hendrickson was not a factor, unfortunately, but that is, you know, just kind of the way it goes a little bit. Bengals had some tough sledding here. I'm going to bring up the stats here from the ESPN box score. I like sharing this. I know people like sharing the ESPN. Here's what I'm going to do, by the way, in a little bit. I teased it a second ago. At the end of the show, I think I'm going to post the live chat link publicly in the YouTube and Facebook chats. And we're going to spend a couple minutes. And if you want to pop on here and give me 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, just saying what this game means to you or whatever, hop in here. We do listener questions live. We give you a platform to talk. I'll do it here today, tonight. We'll do it for a few minutes. If any of you want to come on here, I'll put the link in here a little later. Hop in here. I'll try and get to as many people as possible. And want to say hey to you. You guys have supported this show and support the team. So if you want to pop in for, you know, just a tiny bit and just say what's up, we'll do that at the end here, because this is a big, big game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Before we get into the stats, that's kind of another storyline I want to talk about. This very well may be the second biggest win, and I'd like to talk about that with my co-host John Sheeran on Wednesday. This very well may be the second biggest win in Bengals history. Obviously, the Freezer Bowl to send them to the Super Bowl that year over the Chargers. That's the most iconic win probably in Cincinnati history. You can argue the AFC Championship to get them into the Super Bowl in 1988 as well, but this is the first road playoff win. Gutsy, gutsy performance, and it's not a fluke. It's not a fluke, folks. So that's another storyline that I think we can talk about and we'll continue to talk about this week. Quickly, we'll just go over some of the stats, and there is some good, some bad, and some ugly. Look at the 9 sacks for 68 yards of Joe Burrow. Still hung in there, 28 of 37, 348. Did have the interception. The ball was off of P. Ryan's hands, and the defensive back made an insane play on that. You could debate whether that was actually incomplete or not. I don't know. I think whatever they called it on the field, it was that close. They were going to call it. There was a lot of hemming and hawing in terms of the rule and the letter of the law on that. So they let it go. I mean, you can also debate whether that throw was errant or if P. Ryan should have caught that. I kind of contend that P. Ryan had both hands on it, so he probably should have caught it. But, you know, it wasn't right on the numbers per se. But, I mean, it was seemed like it was catchable. But at any rate, the one interception there, there's Ryan Tannehill. 15 of 24, made a couple of big throws off of play action, but 3 interceptions. And he was sacked one time. He was sacked once, as opposed to Joe Burrow getting sacked 9 times. And if you or a Tennessee Titans fan or whoever wants to have any kind of discussion in terms of quality of quarterbacks, gutting through things, take a look at this stat line. A guy was sacked once and had 3 interceptions on his home field off a bye week. The visiting quarterback got sacked 9 times, had 1 interception that you couldn't really pin on him. You can, I guess, a little bit, but I mean, it's also on the running back a little bit. Sacked 9 times. I mean, that's just the difference between those two quarterbacks, quite honestly. And I like Ryan Tannehill more than most. I think he's very athletic. I think he's got a good arm, and at times he can look great. But we're seeing a very, very special player in number 9. There is no doubt about it. Not much in the run game. I mean, Deontay Foreman had the big, big 45-yarder, but everybody else. I mean, look at Derrick Henry. We know he's coming back from the injury. Maybe wasn't 100%. 20 carries, 62 yards. Did get in the end zone, but was stonewalled on a fourth and 1. Was also stonewalled at the 1-yard line on a 2-point conversion play. The Bengals sold out on him, and it paid off. 20 carries, 62 yards, a touchdown. His long run of the day, 9 yards. 9 yards. Joe Mixon had a 16-yarder. He finished with 14 for 54, just under yards per carry, and much of anyone else there. Jamar Chase had a 2-yarder on a play there. And then Chase, as I mentioned, 5 catches, 109 yards, did not get in the end zone. No one got in the end zone through the air. Higgins had almost a 100-yard game, 7 catches, 96 yards. There were a couple of tough contested catches you really wish he would have hung on to, but made some really nice plays as well, did Higgins. 7 catches, 96 yards. This surprised me a little bit. C.J. Uzomah, 7 catches, 71 yards. I didn't think he had quite that many, but 7 catches on 8 targets, tough, you know, some tough catches in there. Joe Mixon helping out in the passing game, 6 catches, 51 yards. Tyler Boyd, 2 for 17. And, you know, I mean, a lot of different players helping out. A.J. Brown did have a big game, 5 catches, 142, and that crazy touchdown catch in that front on the front pylon, a back shoulder, a Woozie, kind of turned around a little bit there. Julio Jones made a few nice plays, 6 catches, 62 yards on 7 targets, and then not much else from a lot of other players there. Tight ends were not a factor in this game, and only 4 players caught passes for the Tennessee Titans. 4-6 caught passes for the Cincinnati Bengals. Look at Logan Wilson's game, tackle for loss, 8 total tackles, a pass defended, the interception, a quarterback hit, big game from him. Von Bell had a sack and a tackle for loss. The sack was the tackle for loss, rather. DJ Reader, 6 total tackles, 2 of them for loss and a quarterback hit. Amazing game from him. Awuzie struggled a little bit today for the first time in a really for most of the year. Pratt, pretty quiet. Bates had the nice interception at the beginning of the game. Had a missed tackle later on, I think it was the big Foreman run. But 4 tackles in the pick. That ended up kind of being the difference in the game, getting that pick on, what was it, Ryan Tannehill's first pass attempt of the game? Getting that, and that turns into 3 points right there. Marcus Bailey getting out there and playing well. Trey Flowers had the 1 penalty on special teams, but I tell you what, he had 2 or 3 other great, great stops on punt returns, just right there, stopping the punts in their tracks. We've got BJ Hill in there. Eli Apple had the tip to go into the interception for Logan Wilson there. You got to like that. Mike Hilton, the tip to himself, an interception. Sam Hubbard, hustle, 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 Sam Hubbard. I love it. Zach Kerr getting in there after being signed this week. Sample left with an injury, as did Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson did return, though, so that was good news. And you see the interceptions here, Hilton, Wilson, and Bates. Chris Evans had a couple of nice kick returns here. You see the 27.3 average. He had a 32-yarder, a couple of nice kick returns from him. That was nice to see. Bengals could not get anything in the punt return game. It was just essentially fair catches for Taylor there. And then you got McPherson. 4 of 4, 1 of 1 on the extra points, 54 yards. I mean, it's just money in the bank every time he's back there. Money in the bank every time he's back there. Huber, 2 of his 5 punts inside the 20. And so, you know, there's that. Randy Bullock did hit a field goal and an extra point, but like I said, come crunch time, they didn't trust him to make the same kind of kicks that the Bengals rookie could make. And that says a little something, not so much about Randy Bullock. It just says more about Evan McPherson, really. So that's, some of the stats here on that. And I'll share some more in a little bit here. I see we've got some super chats that we want to get to. I think this is from Sten, a very nice donation here. I will, let me see if I can pull that up. And all this stuff again will go to the Javonte Foundation super chats, the Positive Universal Project. David G, $5 for Eli Apple's tip to Logan Wilson and Clay Johnson's tackle stopping the 2-point conversion attempt. There you go. I love it. Clay Johnson. Yeah. You gotta give that guy some love for sure. That was pretty cool to see that happen at the goal line there. Let's see here. Gotta scroll up here. Just, not Sten, just being generous. And that's going to go to the Javonte Woods Foundation. Thank you, Sten. I think you're watching from Denmark, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you so much. And there was another one I missed here somewhere, I think. Zach Carpenter, this was another one. Thank you. Good game, Bengals. You showed up.
You showed us your greatest weakness tonight, Tannehill. Great game plan and good luck next week. Tighten up. Oh, was that Zach? Zach's a Titan fan, it looks like. Thank you, Zach. That's going to go to the Javonte Woods Foundation. Appreciate that. And of course, here is a great one from Keeper Slim, a very generous donation, AFC Championship. Let's go. Can't say much more than that. Can't say much more than that. Now, we can feel great about a lot of things. We can feel great that the Bengals are in the AFC Championship. We can talk about all the roses and sunshine that comes with that, and there are a lot. There is also an 800-pound, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, gorilla, elephant, whatever, in the room, and that is the sacks, the offensive line play, and the long-term viability of that. Not all nine sacks were on the offensive line today. Let's start with that. Joe Burrow probably had an opportunity, and we know this about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow likes to make things happen in the pocket. More often than not, they work out for the better, and he makes these incredible plays by dancing around, avoiding pressure, all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of a little Brett Favre-ish in that way, I guess. You know, he's kind of got a little bit of a gunslinger mentality with that, and he knows that he's going to make a play if he can avoid the rush and ad-lib back there. And we've seen it work a lot for the Bengals, particularly with Ja'Marr Chase on this team. The issue is sometimes it does not work out, and those turn into sacks, those sacks turn into drive killing plays. And there are a couple times where that happened today with Joe Burrow. I would say I can definitely think of two off the top of my head, maybe three, where he held onto the ball too long. And so, you know, some of that is on the quarterback, and you take that because of who Joe Burrow is and what he gives you. You take that. You can't take five or six other sacks on poor protection. Now, the Titans did seem to do a couple of different things. I think they maybe blitzed one on one or two of those that, and the Titans aren't a blitzing team. They like to just line up their front and go for it there because their front is able to get pressure, get sacks often. So that happened, I think, once or twice as well today, but there are issues on the right side of the line. Riley Reiff is missed. There was a play by Harold Landry. He came in unblocked by both Prince and Adeniji. There was a miscommunication there, and he came in unblocked and got Joe Burrow. The offensive line needs a lot of help, and I don't know. My concerning thought with it is that your second round pick still can't crack the starting lineup with the offensive line performing the way it did. Jonah Williams had some issues today after having a stellar game against Yannick Ngakoue last week. You have to believe that this is going to be the worst that it's going to get from the offensive line in this postseason run, however much longer it's going to go. But, you know, when it's got to get better. I mean, there's no pretty way to put it. It has to be better on that offensive line. They did have some nice moments at the beginning of the second half, especially on that Mixon touchdown run. That drive, they were starting to get some push on the offensive line. That was nice. That was good. And that's not coincidentally, that's when Mixon had some of his best runs of the day. So there are some issues to clean up. The good news is, even with obvious issues, maybe talent deficiencies on the offensive line, the good news is the Bengals are still winning games. They are finding ways to win these games. They are relying on insane special teams play. They are relying on some big plays by their defense. They are relying on a number of different things that allow them the opportunity to keep going through the postseason. So while it's very concerning, the Chiefs defensive line, Jones, that's going to be trouble. The Bills got a pretty good defense as well. That's going to be trouble. This has to be one of the better defenses they were going to face today, though, in Tennessee, especially that defensive front and their ability to do a lot of different things. You know, and some of the bigger names, Kevin Byard, really, really good safety. You didn't hear his name called a lot.
Hooker, the other safety, he was the guy who made, I believe, the incredible diving interception. So he had a nice play, but you know, it was really the defensive line show for the Tennessee Titans. And we knew that was going to be a case. I don't think we figured 9 sacks. I think we maybe figured 3, 4, maybe 5. I don't know if 9, and that's pretty maddening, but some of those are on Joe Burrow, a couple of them. Others are on the offensive line. And look, if you're not going to be able to pass protect well, you got to be able to at least run block well. And like I said, that was even still a little inconsistent today as well. So tough, tough matchup for the Bengals offensive line. But there is no doubt, no matter how much farther the Cincinnati Bengals go, that they will need to address some things on that offensive line, whether that's free agency or the draft or whatever.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
I want to say a couple more things, and I'm going to pin. Here's what I'm going to do. Like I said, I'm going to be here a few more minutes. I'm going to put the link in here in just a second. So if any of you want to jump in and be on the show with me, be a brief co-host with me, let's do it. I want to hear from you. This is a special, special, special day as a Bengals fan, as a bang doing this show, all kinds of stuff. I'll throw it in there. We'll try and get to some of you and hear what you have to say if you're not shy. If you're also at the game or coming from the game, if you're in Nashville, definitely hop on here because we want to hear from you. But anyway, quickly, I'm going to share one more thing in terms of team stats, and then I'm going to share a couple thoughts. I'll put the link in here and we'll hang for a little longer and get to it. So here you go. Team stats. Look at the first downs. If you ever want to hear anything about the Bengals getting lucky in this one, if you ever want to hear about the Bay, if someone gives you that kind of stuff, don't even entertain it. Because the Tennessee Titans fought their butts off as well today. The Bengals just were better in a few different critical areas. Maybe not by much. The Titans were better in some areas as well. But look at the first down, 17-16. Right down the middle. Look at the passing first downs, 13-9. So slight advantage to the Bengals there. Rushing first downs, predictably, the Titans had the edge there, 7-4. Look at third down efficiency. 7-15, just under 50% for the Bengals. 1-8 for the Titans. That's a huge win for the Bengals defense. 1-8 on third down. Total plays, sort of close. Bengals had it a little bit more, 64 plays to 52. Look at the yards, 345 to 353. Total drives, 12 and 11.
yards per play, 5.4 for the Bengals, 6.8. Now, I think that's greatly affected because of the sacks, obviously, but 6.8. I mean, the Titans were popping some big plays. Look at the passing yards. Obviously, net after the sacks, 280 for the Bengals, net 213 for the Titans. We mentioned this, the passing stats. The sacks completely lopsided, 9 for 68 and 1 for 7. Rushing yards, pretty lopsided, 140 for the Titans, 65 for the Bengals. Look at the penalties, though. Bengals had more penalties than the Titans. 6 for 46, 2 of 15. Bengals were a little bit better in the red zone, 1 of 2. Titans were 1 of 3. And then the turnovers. The Bengals forced those three interceptions to their only one interception, and that was a big deal. Bengals did hog the ball a little bit more, 33-25 to 26-35. So, I mean, look, it wasn't dominating by the Bengals. It wasn't a dominating performance, really. There was some domination in specific aspects from both teams, but really, really evenly fought game for the most part, and the Bengals just did a little bit more in the turnover department, third downs, and took care of the ball a little bit better. I mean, that's really what it came down to. And then they had an excellent kicker to seal drives that not many teams would be able to get points out of, quite frankly, because they don't have that same weapon on special teams. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know he's a rookie, but there are Justin Tucker vibes going on with Evan McPherson. And that is high praise because Justin Tucker's the best kicker I think I've ever seen. And this kid's, he's already close. I mean, he's probably not there yet, but he's damn close. Damn close. We are coming up here. Let's see. I don't know if I skipped any super chats. I apologize if I did. I saw one here. I got to see who that was. We'll put that up here. Maybe it's way down here. I got to maybe catch up on some comments. We have hundreds of live viewers, and that is awesome. Me again, William Perry, Mr. Generosity, you are the man. My old lady Carol and I are listening for the first time together, and given that I gave cash earlier, I need to keep the tradition going until the Super Bowl. All you other clowns that gave cash need to as well, LOL. I don't know if people are clowns, but that's okay, William, you're great. Appreciate you and your support. You always listen, you always leave awesome comments, and of course, generosity like this, that'll help out the Javonte Woods Foundation. Big help, and we're going to send all that off to him in just a little while. But thank you so much for that. Here is the live link. If you are watching in YouTube or Facebook, keep in mind that it does limit the amount of people I can bring in at a time. But if you want to pop in here, say a quick something, say what's up, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Before I let people in here, though, there's the link. Before I let in people in here, I've got a couple things to say. Number one, take a look at who some of the biggest plays have come from in the Cincinnati Bengals in some of their biggest wins this year, whether that's the Ravens games, the Chiefs, these two postseason games. They're coming from new players, Ja'Marr Chase, players who are coming back from injury that weren't available last year, DJ Reader, Joe Burrow, and of course, they're coming from free agent acquisitions. Trey Hendrickson's been an animal all year. Mike Hilton, huge play. In this one, huge play against the Steelers. That tells you that the Cincinnati Bengals, number one, are drafting well. Evan McPherson, we talked about him. But they are also, that their aggressiveness in outside free agency is paying off. And hopefully that's something that they continue. The other thing is, it's really weird what happens when, as an organization, you start doing some of the things that marquee organizations do, and you start doing so many things to engage the fan base, and you start doing a lot of things that really gets things energized. Credit to the Blackburn family, Elizabeth Blackburn in particular. Credit to the Brown family and all of them, from the Ring of Honor to fan engagement, Ruler of the Jungle, all kinds of different things. It's really, it sounds like that may not have an impact on on-field play, but it does. I truly believe it does, because those guys in that locker room see that stuff. And those guys see the engagement of fans and how fans are excited. Fans aren't waiting for the other shoe to drop every week. in these big games. They're excited. They're confident like the people in that locker room are. And when the organization is doing all of these great things that they have really, really come around on these past couple of years, and in particular this offseason, kudos. And it's really weird how you start winning some of these big games, and as an organization, you start acting like one of the big boys in the NFL. So big props to the Bengals and their front office for doing all that stuff, because you may not think about it when you think about the on-field play and Joe Burrow and Evan McPherson and all these guys get the credit, but when you do things the right way, these are the type of wins that you achieve as an organization. And I know that Bengals fans, me sitting here doing this show and writing for Cincy Jungle, I couldn't be more excited. We've got a few people waiting here. We're going to give you the floor here. We've got a few more minutes. I am kidless for the evening, so I've got a little more time. I've got a little more flexibility on the schedule tonight. So between that and the big win, I'm going to give all of you the floor for a couple of minutes. And I get to read your words, but I never get to hear your voices all the time. So we've got, I think, Akilah checking in. Are you there, Akilah?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's going on, buddy?
Man, I feel great. I just want to be brief because I don't want to take time away from other people.
No, you're good, dude. What's going on?
I'm sitting here and I'm like 9 sacks. I'd say about 4 on Burrow, 5 on the offensive line. That's still way too many. Right.
Sounds about right. Yep.
And we've been drafting linemen for so long. I mean, Cedric Obwehi, I'm tired of waiting for these linemen to develop. It's known for like 2 to 3 years to get a lineman up to like their ceiling. No, Jonah Williams is just now hitting his ceiling. We have Jaxon Carman waiting. I have high hopes for him. Deontay Smith, I have high hopes for him. Unless we can get like a blue chip prospect, like a Tyler Linderbaum or a Charles Cross, unless we trade up to get those guys, I really don't see us going lineman. Bernhard Raimann is my draft crush, though. I love Bernhard Raimann.
Okay. So that's an interesting point. I think it's going to take the Bengals not only still going in the draft and getting some possible premier prospects on the offensive line, but they're going to need to find some established free agency guys.
Yes. I mean, that's just Armstead.
They need to figure that out. And you know, they've tried to draft and developed. It's work here and there, but like you said, there are so many examples where it did not. So they need to do a little bit of both, where they can get some veteran steadiness as well as some draft and develop guys and let it play out. That I talked about all the different things, Akilah, that the Bengals are doing as an organization that is paying dividends, maybe not absolutely directly in terms of it paying dividends. But the other thing that I think that they need to change is what you just mentioned, being aggressive when you key in on a player that you really like. The Bengals never like to move up, particularly in high rounds, and give up a lot of draft capital to do so. If you key in on a guy as the Cincinnati Bengals, you're like, dude, this is, you know, Linderbaum or whoever it is. This is a guy. We got to get this guy. Then you go up and you get him. Yes. If you think he's going to change your offensive line, if you think he's going to change your team, you got to be able to go up and get him, because sometimes these hoarding of picks and you just kind of get, well, we like these guys. You go back to the Billy Price and Frank Ragnow situation, right? I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals moved back there. They had a chance to maybe move up to get the guy that I know that they all wanted in Frank Ragnow, and they didn't do it. So, and they settled for Billy Price. Billy Price, great guy. He's having a nice little stint with the Giants here. It worked out nicely for both teams, but I like your point, Akilah. I think they need to move up a little bit.
The issue with the draft is it's always a gamble. You really, yep. No one has any idea. People thought Trevor Lawrence was going to light the world on fire, and you know, it's the Jaguars. It's a tough spot, but I mean, he didn't light the world on fire. People thought Tua was going to be a great quarterback. He's on the Dolphins. It's always a gamble. And if you can go out and get a Teron Armstead, I mean, we see what happens. The moment Riley Reiff went down, he may not be the best pass blocker, but in the run game, he's a mauler. And the moment he went down, our run game completely, it went out the window.
Yep.
And if we can just get one lineman, let the young guys develop, Deontay Smith, Akeem Adeniji, Jaxon Carman, give them some time. I feel like we could have a great offensive line next year, but it's, do you want to spend the draft capital? Do you want to spend the money?
Yeah,
but,
good point.
And also, I said last year Lou is a good defensive coordinator, and I got clowned for it. I'm looking pretty smart now.
You are looking pretty smart.
Lou is great.
Yeah. I may have disagreed with you earlier this year and in this offseason, or at least I said I don't know who he is at this point, but he's doing some good things. Good to hear from you, buddy. Hope you enjoyed the win, and thanks for the support of the show.
Have a good night. Who day?
All right, you too, buddy. All right, we've got another one here. I think it's news pods. I don't know. Are you there?
I didn't mean to, like, I'm good.
Okay. All right, let's go here. I think we'll go to David G. Joby won.
Yeah. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? How you doing? Look at the hat. You're rocking the hat. Yeah. What's the jersey? We're kind of twinning on the jerseys here. Who you got?
I got Joey B.
Okay. All right.
Joey B. It's so good to finally get a chance to talk to you. You know, I seem to miss a lot of the live chats and stuff like this. What a year it's been, man, huh?
Yeah. It's been a fun one.
I mean, I've been a fan since actually 1967. Whenever it was first announced that the Bengals were, you know, that Paul Brown was bringing a team to Cincinnati. So I've lived through all the ups and all the downs. And this year has been, I swear to God, like the most incredible season I can remember ever. You know, I know that we all anticipated this with Burrow, but.
You know, I mean, obviously 05 was really fun. Obviously 15 for me was really fun. And then Dalton got hurt, and both of those years, you know, I 13 was kind of fun, and 11 was cool because, you know, they weren't expected to be anything that year. And that was kind of cool. And you're like, hey, you know, it seemed like we got a decent quarterback in Dalton and a star receiver in AJ Green. That's cool. 09 was pretty cool because that was another team that was just a lot of guys that were cast offs and you never knew and they swept the AFC North that year. So, I mean, there's a lot of years that are fun. I don't know, man. You're right. This has to be kind of top of the heap of, I mean, I know 88 was amazing. 81 was amazing, but this has to be right up there.
I think of a lot of credit to you and John and Ace and Zim and, you know, Iceman and all of the social media folks, bringing more attention to people like Bengal Jim and Tony the Tiger. Yaz, you know, Commissioner Yaz, it's just been this sort of like online community that's helped build, you know, some of the excitement. So, you know, hats off to you guys for helping to make this such a special season, you know, for us all. I'm glad the team's performed without that, but, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, it makes it, like I said, it makes it easier to kind of rally around the team when this team and its ownership has finally kind of embraced everybody, right? I mean, the Ring of Honor thing and the Ruler of the Jungle thing. These are in many organizations' eyes, maybe even some Bengals fans' eyes. These are things there. You go, well, big deal, big whoop. I mean, these are what other teams do. Yeah, but it gets people excited. And then when you've got star players on the field and they're winning games against the Chiefs to get into the postseason, they are sweeping the Baltimore Ravens. They are sweeping the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
They are two postseason wins deep already. Yeah. It just makes everything just go, this is awesome. I mean, there's no other words for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just really wanted to follow up on something that Akilda had said, and that is about Luana Rumo. I mean, you could just tell that for the scheme that he wanted to run, he didn't have the right personnel the first 2 years. You know, and credit to the front office for going out and signing some of these key additions. Because if you look at our defense, you know what? 2/3 of our defense is made up of guys that we didn't draft, but we brought in from outside. These veterans with this experience, I'd been part of winning, you know, teams, winning cultures and things like this. And you saw it tonight. I mean, you know, bend, don't break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they shut, you know, I mean, you know, nothing against Derrick Henry. We know what a phenomenal player he is. And, you know, he got his, you know, kind of, but he didn't break 100 yards. He didn't break 70 yards.
Nope. He was held in check. And guess what happens when Derrick Henry is held in check? Mr. Tannehill gets a little exploited, doesn't he?
He looks like he did back in Miami.
That's right. He got a little exploited today without that run game. And, you know, I mean, A.J. Brown had a great game as well.
Yeah.
And they made a couple of plays. And I like Tannehill more than most, to be honest with you. But, I mean, there's no doubt about it. When you take away his run game, that's an issue for him. And that's what the Bengals did for the most part. Really, it was kind of one big run by Foreman. I mentioned that Derrick Henry, his long run of the day was like 9 yards. So, I mean, there just wasn't much there. But, David, thank you for the support of the show, my man.
Yeah, it's man. Cool. Love you guys.
I know the Joby Wan name. So, good to hear from you. And appreciate the support. And thanks for popping in.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. You too.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Going to be here a few more minutes. I got the link in the live chat if you want to jump in. Or, of course, if you want to call in to the show, like our buddy Terrell, who calls in listener questions live. And you know what, Terrell? I apologize. I think you called in yesterday. We didn't get to your call. We were pretty slammed with all kinds of different stuff. But good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
It's all good, man. Oh, man. I can't believe, man. It's just surreal, man. I'm not used to winning, man, and everything going my way.
It's weird. It's a weird feeling, right?
I mean, I got to say, man, I just keep telling my friends this. The last two draft classes and the last two free agencies.
Franchise changing. Franchise changing.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness, man. I mean, the defense, man, they just don't give up. Pratt and Logan Wilson, man, they just get better and better. I mean, they just got, I mean, oh, my goodness, man. But I just got to say that we got, everybody know about the line, but we got to get I would like to get like a project quarterback behind Burrow. You know what I mean? Just somebody that got to move around, somebody to still line behind him. Because I'm scared though, because the Titans they was lunging for his legs, man. Because they knew the only way they could win is if Burrow won in the game. And it was tough. I think they was the best defensive line we played all year. Even when we played against good defenses, our line still looked okay. But this game, it just looked crazy.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, I hope the running game get back stronger. All I got to say is, man, if it was sunny in September, we would have blown them out.
Yeah, maybe.
But, man, I got to say, man, who they, man? I know Lou is probably about to get a lot of phone calls, man, some head coaching jobs. I hope he stays.
Jesse
got paid today. He did. Yep. But have a good one, Anthony, man. I'm about to go out and celebrate, man.
Do it. Go have fun. Go have fun and be safe.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye. I think we've got another caller on the line here. Maybe not. I think the call dropped. So call back if we did. I was trying to get that to that one as well, but. If you want to call in, if you want to chat on here, go for it. We had a few of you on here. Pretty cool stuff. I want to say this. It's also really cool that, you know, I've got a lot of friends that know that I'm a big Bengals guy. And obviously it's been a tough road being a Bengals guy. So, you know, I all the texts and calls and stuff that I've received these past two weekends has been pretty cool, hearing from people being like, man, are you just excited? That's just awesome stuff. So we've got another call come in and we'll bring it in here in just a second. So anyway, that's just one of the thoughts I wanted to share here. I think we've got another call here from New Jersey, New York. I didn't catch that. Hi, who's this?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is Tim.
Tim, what's going on, man?
Long-time listener.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. What's going on? How you feeling? AFC Championship, my man?
Can't believe it. 25, and just to see the Bengals win the playoffs just alone was nuts. This one is absolutely unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a pretty fun run, that's for sure. And you know, I wanted to just at least give a platform to a few folks that always support the show and want to talk about it. It's a special week, special game, and like I said, I actually have a little bit of schedule flexibility to, because I'm not on dad duty tonight, so I'm got a little more freedom than I usually do on it than a 30-minute show. But yeah, it's been a special year, dude. It's been a fun one, you know, and it just seems like big win after big win after big win and a lot of nail biters, you know?
Well, the AFC Championship's definitely a guarantee in my eyes.
You think that it's guaranteed, huh?
Yeah, I feel like the Bengals definitely making it to the Super Bowl.
All right. We'll see. Well, thanks for checking in, man. Good to hear from you. Hope you celebrate well tonight, and appreciate the support of the show.
All right, absolutely. Keep it going.
All right, man. Thank you. I think we've got one more coming in here in just a second, another call. So I think this is right from Cincinnati, 513 area code. Who's this?
Hey, my name is James.
James, what's going on, bud?
Not much, man. I just got off work, and I was watching the game at my desk, and it was hard to contain all that raw emotion the entire time. It was so... Like, I work in Cincinnati, and all the people I work around with, I work in an office, and everybody was just, like, on their toes. We were all watching the same TV. It's, like, I don't even know what reality we're living in right now.
Well,
like,
here's the thing, man. And it's not just, you know, we could talk about who they've beaten this year, the Ravens twice, the Steelers twice, the Chiefs, I mean, Titans in Tennessee, Raiders twice. I mean, we can talk about all right. that stuff, but my thing is, that makes this team so much different and why they got their postseason wins this year, as opposed to the seven other Marvin Lewis teams that could not. Right. The resiliency. And they just scratch and claw, not to use a pun, you know, with the Tiger deal, but they scratch and they claw yeah. and they just hang in there. The fact that you win a game against the number one seed on the road and your right. quarterback is sacked 9 times is
unreal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I've been a Bengals fan ever since I remember watching I'm 27, by the way. I remember watching the Carson Palmer game with the Steelers when he shattered his knee.
Yep.
At that moment, like that destroyed me. And seeing like the confidence that this team has and like this attitude, it's just literally unreal.
Yeah,
I'm going downtown tonight.
Yeah, have some fun, dude. My thing to your point there. Here's the difference between those teams and this team as well. And I was a big Carson Palmer guy, being a West Coast guy, USC, you know, USC guy. I really liked him. Obviously, Chad, the whole crew. That team was never able to emotionally recover from that injury. And of course the later one in 2015, that loss to the Steelers with Jeremy Hill, they were never able to emotionally recover from that. When Joe Burrow got injured last year, that was my main fear, is not only how Joe, I kind of knew deep down that Joe was going to come back and be fine and be good. I didn't know he would be this good this soon. My question was, how's the rest of the team going to respond to that? Are they going to be like, man, we just can't have nice things, we're just going to crawl in a shell like we always do? And that's the deal. And they did the exact opposite. They did the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think they definitely put like the bad blood between like Mike Brown and like Marvin Lewis. And they definitely, with Zach Taylor especially, they've definitely like moved on. And they, you know, just the way they carry themselves, it's just different. Like, this team is so much different than it used to be, especially back when Andy Dalton was around. It's just it's a different energy. And like, I can't even describe into words. When they won the first playoff game, like, I was shaking. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know how to respond. It was just, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well,
go have fun downtown, man. We've got a couple other people we're going to get to, but go have fun. Be safe. And hooday, my friend. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yep. See ya.
Bye. We had a couple other people that one guy's been bouncing in and out. I think it was Steven. We'll try and get to him. I think we got someone in here, No Legs. No Legs, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, bud?
Not much, man. I just wanted to check in. Say, I'm from South Louisiana, so I've been familiar with Joe for a while.
You have seen it all. Yeah,
I have. Yeah, so I've known it for a while. I think Bengals fans have known it for the last 2 years, and the whole league will know very soon. I mean, Joe just has it.
Yep.
If you get it, it's the feeling kind of how Patriots fans had for the last decade and a half. Yep. You go into a game not worried because you got the guy. Yep. And that's where I think the Bengals are at this point in time.
Yep. Great point. I mean, it's like I was just telling, I think it was Tim who was on the phone here. 9 sacks. The guy gets sacked 9 times and somehow the Bengals win. And that's really a testament, not only to him, but really the rest of the team, just being able to rally and go through. But thanks for checking in, man. And thanks for supporting the show. I appreciate it. Hope you're celebrating and having fun tonight.
Yeah. Hootay and go Tigers. Right.
Hootay. I think we've got Steven, who's bounced in and out a couple times. Steven, are you there?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sounds like you're driving. Hopefully you're using
Bluetooth. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Airport,
but I'm getting ready to stop here in a moment.
All right.
Wanted to call really quickly.
Uh-oh, we'd lose you? We might have lost you. Sorry, Steven. Anyway, good to hear from you checking in. And then, of course, we've got – is it Fox or Fax? Fox.
Fox. Go.
Yeah, gosh. I might need to get my eyes checked. What's going on, bud?
I am so stoked. I went and played cards last night, and I told a couple guys that I played cards with. They're like, oh, you guys, you know, Derrick Henry's coming back. I said, I ain't worried about Derrick Henry. I said, we got this. This ain't your same old – this ain't your daddy's Bengals.
It seems like every single big game this year, that's been – what's weird to me is it's always been the Bengals fans that have always been the ones who have waited for the other shoe to drop, and they're gonna obviously poop the bed at some point. And, you know, they always do, right? But this year the fans have been the confident ones, and they've been like, this is a different team. And they thought we were going to lose to the Ravens. They thought we were going to lose to the Steelers. They thought we were going to lose to the Chiefs. They thought we were going to lose. A lot of people still thought the Bengals were going to lose last week to the Raiders. And then, you know, you had a lot, basically nobody in the national media picking the Bengals this week. And here they are.
Yep. I live in Indiana, so it's hard for me to even go out and do nothing. So I just got to sit at my house. And I know I've seen you on Sports with Strawberry Ice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He does his Bengals victory lap with his flag.
Yeah.
I did one after we won the championship, the AFC championship, and he called me out on his show. I think it was either Thursday or Friday. He called me out, told me. So I told him when we won, I'm going to post it in the ice bar. I'm pretty sure you're on the ice bar. I'm going to post it in there. It's hard to see because I didn't have nobody to hold my phone this time. I had to run with my phone in my hand in the dark. I almost got hit by a car running across the street.
Oh, God, don't do that.
But I'll post it in the ice bar here in a few. I just want to jump on. I'll listen to you guys. And
I appreciate it.
Strawberry ice. And
appreciate it.
I want to jump on. I was so stoked. I'm home alone. My kids are out with their mama. So I'm like, yeah, party time.
Yeah, let's have some fun. That's right. I've got a similar situation going. So that's why I'm going a little longer tonight. And I want to make sure that the listeners and the Bengals fans are getting heard from. So good to hear from you, man. Take care. Be safe. Celebrate tonight.
Like Jeremy D always says, remember one thing and one thing only. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. So act like it.
That's right. That's right. Take it easy, bud. We'll be here just a couple more minutes, but wanted to give a little bit of airtime to the fans and the listeners. And not only because I want – you know, you all to celebrate this as well, but also, you know, just to kind of thank you all for the support of the show. You know, I know we aren't the best at what we do, I guess, or I'm not the best at what I do, but just try and give you all kinds of different stuff and hopefully you enjoy it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support. We have literally hundreds of live viewers right now, which is awesome. Obviously everybody's very excited. So just thank you. And this has been easily the most fun season that the Bengals have given in terms of me covering the team for Cincy Jungle or this podcast. So I love that. And if you're joining us for the first time on a post-game show, they're not always like this. We usually go a little more in-depth, a little more X's and O's, a little more stats, all that kind of stuff like we did in the beginning. But it's celebration night. It's a celebration night for sure. So at any rate, I we're over an hour now, so we're probably going to hop on out of here. Want to remind folks to get the show if you're new here, which many of you may be because you know, maybe you're just kind of celebrating. You're like, hey, I want to go on. I want to find different shows. Want to remind everybody that you can get this show a number of different ways. We are on YouTube, so you can subscribe to that. Click the subscribe button and hit the bell to be notified when we go live, when new content is available. Hit the thumbs up if you like what we're doing. We're on iTunes as well. We're on Stitcher. We are on Spotify. We are on... let's see, iHeartRadio, right? We're on that one. And then, of course, we are on Google Podcasts, all the major platforms. So go check it out how you can. We're on all the major platforms. And it's not just our show. It's Orange is the New Black from Ace and Zim, Coach Speak and Chalk Talk from Matt Minnick. And our show, we do a couple of different things here. We do the post-game shows. We do a kind of run-through of headlines for the Bengals and the rest of the NFL during the week. We've got a main show with myself and my co-host, John Sheeran, in the middle of the week. We do listener questions live. We do interviews with folks covering the opposition and all kinds of stuff. And we've got all kinds of different stuff coming up for the offseason, which I hope is a few weeks away now. But we'll be doing free agency profiles, draft profiles, Bengal bios, all kinds of different stuff in the offseason as well. I think we've got Steven back here. Steven, wanted to give you one last floor. You were saying something, and unfortunately, I think your Bluetooth cut out on you. I don't know if you're with us now, but wanted to give you another opportunity to share your story there.
Hey, Andy, thanks. I appreciate it. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I think you're good now.
I appreciate you. I finally got to the airport and stopped. So
there you go.
But I just wanted to say, hey, I'm really happy for you guys. I'm not necessarily a Bengals fan, but I'm a Joe Burrow fan, and
awesome.
I remember when I saw him at LSU, and I was like, man, that kid's pretty good. But, you know, when you see him in college, you're like, okay, yeah, they're pretty good for college. And but you never really know. And then I saw him his first year with Cincinnati. I said, that kid's special. And when he got hurt, I had the exact same feeling you had. I said, that's way too much. That's way too much talent wrapped up in a crappy O-line. They have got to fix that in Cincinnati. They've got to fix it. But the fact that you guys won a playoff game when the QB gets sacked 9 times.
Unbelievable.
That shows you how special he is, man. So I'm really happy for you guys in Cincy. I personally believe the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs tomorrow, but I would love to see Cincy go back to KC and whoop the Chiefs. I would love to see it, man.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you're getting a marquee quarterback matchup in the AFC Championship game. Right. I mean, it's Burrow versus Josh Allen or Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes. And the last time, obviously, we know what happened at the end of the season between Burrow and Mahomes. That was a hell of a game. So, you know, you're going to get a marquee quarterback matchup. And here's the thing, too, with Joey B, you are a fan of him. So, you know, this here, what was interesting, not only from him rehabbing that injury and coming back from it and playing outstanding throughout this entire year. It's the other things he worked on to improve upon, right? There's a lot of arm strength questions. Can he throw the deep ball questions? All that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best deep thrower in the league this year.
Oh, yeah.
Best deep ball guy in the league this year. And it's not only just coming back from that injury, it's also Joe improving upon a perceived weakness in his game and becoming the tops in the league at that. That to me, that's just like, oh, my gosh. That tells you all you need to know about the guy.
Well, the last two games of the season, he threw for almost 1,000 yards in two games.
Yeah,
I mean the kid's unbelievable. Love him, happy for Cincy. I love what you said about the organization too. Because I'll be honest, I mean I was like a lot of other people when Burrow was coming out of the college. I'm like, man, I don't know if you should go to Cincy. That organization's gotta have some issues. But the fact that the front office is getting it turned around.
Yep.
I couldn't be happier. I would love to see Cincy go to the Super Bowl, man. It'd be fantastic.
That's awesome. And you know what? First of all, thank you. And you know what would be a fun matchup that not a lot of people are talking about? If the Bengals make it to the Super Bowl, we'll have to see what happens with the Rams this weekend. But if it's McVay versus Zach in the Super Bowl, Zach obviously coming from the McVay coaching tree.
Yep.
That would be an interesting one. That would be a really interesting matchup. The Rams will be playing on their home stadium too. So
yeah, we have to find a way to fortify that line though. In that case, that's a tough out for especially after what happened tonight. They got to do something to keep him upright and keep him from getting hurt again. He's got way too much talent. I would hate to see Cincy just. My fear is I don't want to see what happened to Andrew Luck happen to Burrow.
Yeah,
it'd just be a shame. So Cincy's got to fix that.
Yeah, I'm hoping they get a little aggressive on that front next year. And you know, again, it's not all offensive. I mean, it's largely offensive line causing these sacks, but there are times that Joe tries to create. You probably know that.
Yeah.
He tries to create because he is supremely confident in his abilities and what he can do when he ad-libs, as are some of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mahomes does it as well. Josh Allen does it as well. And unfortunately, he's going to run into a few sacks. And that happened probably, like I said, at least two, if not three, maybe four times today of the nine.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, there are far too many hits, far too many sacks on Burrow for a long-term career. And they've got to figure that out. And I think they will.
Wasn't he the most sacked quarterback in the league this season?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know what wasn't talked about? And although the Bengals didn't take advantage of it this week so much, but Joe Burrow was sacked, I think, 51 times this year. Ryan Tannehill was sacked 47 times during the year. So, I mean, his offensive line and his athleticism, kind of running around doing different things, he runs into sacks sometimes too. So some of these quarterbacks do that, you know?
Yeah, well, I love the fact that he threw an interception. I'm talking about Tannehill. He threw an interception at the beginning of the game and threw a bookend interception at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great point. His first throw and his last throw were interceptions. It's like, oh, my gosh, how does that work? But good to hear from you, man. I don't know if you're flying somewhere. You said you were at the airport. If so, fly safe and don't be a stranger around here. I know you're not a big Bengals guy per se, but a Joey B guy, don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. You did a great show. I found it on YouTube, and I'm really enjoying it. You're doing a great job.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Take it easy.
Have a great one. Take care.
All right. I wanted to get Steven back in here. He cut out earlier and wanted to give him a chance to talk there, but we're going to get out of here. We're well over an hour here. And, but I'm heard from a lot of you, and maybe we'll make this a regular thing. These guys keep winning these big games. We're going to make it a regular thing. We also do a listener questions live show where you can call in and ask questions to myself, John Sheeran. And sometimes we get with some other Cincy Jungle podcast members as well. Like we did this last week. Hey, keep it to Cincy Jungle for all your news, opinions, analysis, breaking news, continued playoff coverage. Keep it to our show. I mentioned all the ways you can get it, whether it's audio streaming or the YouTube channel. We're having fun doing all kinds of different things on this channel. We are going to keep bringing you all kinds of different things throughout the week. We've been trying to give you stuff, whether it's on this particular show or the other shows on the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network, that we've been trying to give you stuff basically every day of the week. So we're going to try and continue to do that as long as those Bengals keep staying alive in the postseason. Love it. But thank you, everybody. We've had hundreds and hundreds of live viewers. Thank you to everybody who has donated super chats over the past handful of shows, because all of that money is going to go to the Javonte Woods Foundation directly. We're going to send that over to them. Since Icky Woods joined us on Wednesday night, we're going to give his foundation in honor of his son who passed away from asthma. We're going to give that money to them. So your donations are greatly appreciated. And if you didn't submit one here and you want to submit something to help them out, JavonteWoodsFoundation.org, go there and donate. You can continue to donate to all the great other charities out there that former and current Bengals run, the Esiason Foundation, Ken Anderson Alliance, the Munoz Foundation, Ken Riley Foundation, all of those. And go check out those interviews we had with a lot of those folks on the show as well. Appreciate all of you. I'm going to get to celebrating. I know all of you are as well. This has been a big, big day, a big, big evening. I have no idea what's even going on with the Packers 49ers game at this point, because I ain't watching TV. I ain't looking. I'm paying attention to you all. So I'm going to go probably check that out, have some dinner, and savor this one. Savor this one. Thanks, everybody. And thanks to those of you who joined me on our post-game celebration here. Take it easy.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.